I'd like to welcome Rod Hall, who is going to provide us this seminar on the strategies of success.
Well, thanks for coming, everybody. It's glad to see you here. We do have some books. We want this to be an interactive, participating kind of situation. So good comments or good questions get a reward. So a little bit of motivation there. And Gilbert will be handing those out for somebody that might make a really good comment. So the question is, why are you here? Where are you going? Why are you going anywhere? Those are some of the questions we all face in life, and that's what we're here to figure out. Is what I want to do today is walk you through three of the seven strategies of success. When the book came out, there were seven strategies, and it's all well-researched. It took me about a year to put together, and I read about and studied over 100 individuals who, in this world, were very, very successful. And I analyzed why they made such major progress in their lives, and they all came from different backgrounds, and some started out rich, and some started out poor. But they applied certain basic principles to their life that were strategies. They may not even realize what they were doing, but they were applying them vigorously and became extremely well off or successful in their own right. So you all should have handouts by now. Anybody not have a handout? Okay, we can get you one down front. Laura, she can get you one, or Gilbert's going to get you one. And then how about pens? We have some extra pens if you need it. Want you to take notes. Again, this is meant to be an interactive session. So again, thank Gilbert for the introduction. And Mark Twain said, what you need to do is take your brain out once in a while and dance on it. It's getting all caked up. It was his way of saying sometimes we just need to stop, look, and listen to the path we're on, the rut we're running through in our lives, and make sure it is the right rut in the right direction at the right time. And make some course corrections. We all make course corrections in life. We find new strategies of success. I want to start out by showing this first slide. This is the foundation of what we're going to talk about today. Three of the points of the strategies of success. Number one, what is your right reality? What is the reality for you? I can't answer that question. Your neighbor probably might be able to help out, but you've got to answer that question for yourself. What's your life's purpose? Where are you headed? Why are you heading anywhere? We hope to come out of this seminar about an hour from now with some answers to these as we go through this. Number two, we'll cover the specific goals to get us there. It's nice to have dreams. And when we're young, we dream big dreams, right? You want to be a fireman. You want to be a policeman. You want to be able to fly to the moon as an astronaut. You want to be a teacher. You have these dreams and visions. You want to be the president of the United States. And sometimes they're not based on reality. But you know what? They were dreams. And then what happens? As we get a little older, we enter the workforce, maybe we get married, have a family, and pretty soon reality of life starts knocking us down. Those dreams get beaten out of our lives often. We leave them in the dust because we have to pay the bills. And we spend a life working instead of living a life that we really want to live and dreamt about. And number three, we'll talk about massive action to bring dreams to life. Nothing happens till somebody sells something, sales strategy slogan goes. Nothing happens till somebody does something. We can have the dreams, we can have the vision, we can be on the right track, but as Mark Twain said, even if you're on the right track, you're going to get run over if you just stand there. And we don't want to be run over. We want to be running around on that right track and taking the right action. So before we get into that, we'll look at some of the foundational principles that really will guide us through all the strategies of success. And the next slide shows us there are seven things we're going to talk about first before we get to the real nuts and bolts of this seminar. There's two kinds of successes. What are they? Can you think about what that is? Anybody have any ideas what two kinds of successes are? Probably more than that, but there's two that I want to talk about.
Worldly and spiritual.
Okay. You can be spiritually successful and be poor or weak and not too looked upon too well in this world, or you can be physically advanced and lose out on spirituality like we talked about earlier Solomon did, at least for the last part of his life. Anybody else? Dan, you get a book. And he's already successful, so he doesn't need a book. We'll give him one. Come on up, give him a book. Yes?
Family.
Family is a good thing to be focused on for success. We'll give you all these while we're at it. Go over some more. Yes, you want to have a family. That's a thing to work for, a good goal. Okay, but I'm talking about broad principles. broad principles. Why some people become successful and some don't. We'll talk about that. How about number two? Why are some very successful and others not so much? And others just spend their lives going in circles. Yes? Depends on your drive and determination. You just
asking God to help you.
And asking for divine guidance. Well, you just end the seminar, we can all go home now. That was the right answer. So you get one of these books here too. Gilbert, give her a book. Okay. But there's other reasons too. We'll talk about that. How about number three? Some excuses used not to succeed? Ooh, I like that one. We'll talk about that in detail. Let's pass that one over. Some excuses not to succeed. How about have you rate yourself on how you're doing with the successes in life that you currently have in four major categories. We'll go through that little work exercise. Then we'll explore how you define success. What is success to you? Make you think a little bit about why that became your definition of what you want to become, who you want to be, where you want to be 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. And then we'll talk about the three ifs that impact success. Number six, the three ifs. And number seven, why is all accomplishment not success? We went over that in detail earlier. We'll just skim through that today. And it'll save us a little time as we go through this. Let's go on to the next little slide here. Theodore Roosevelt, the Rough Rider, the President of the United States, had a hard time growing up. He had health problems and worked really hard, got into the outdoors and built his body back up from a very weakly position, and he became the President of the United States. So he applied some of these strategies, but he noticed there are two kinds of successes in life, generally speaking. There's a very rare kind that has the brilliant mind that's a genius. I've known a few geniuses, and they can think about things and do things that us lowly people have a hard time doing sometimes. They have the genius and the power to do something nobody else can do. There's a few of those around. Albert Einstein is one example. I'm sure you can think of others. Brilliant, brilliant minds. He uses feelings, as I remember, to come up with the theories of the universe that he came up with, theory of relativity. He just felt this was right. So even though he had a great brain, it was also part of his feelings and part of his connecting to his emotions that made him really successful. The second part is probably like most of us here. They have ordinary qualities, but you use those ordinary qualities to an extraordinary degree. So that's the kind of focus we're going to have today, is that second part. Going on to the next slide, let's talk about living up to our full human potential here. Living up to our full human potential. Why do some people become very successful and others, even with more abilities, may linger, flounder, and go nowhere? Absolute. Determination is the bridge to success. Good answer. Gilbert's going to give you a book, or I can give you one right now, if it doesn't destroy the cameraman's vision here. Okay. All right, determination. That's one of the big points we'll talk about. We'll spend a lot of time on that. It is the bridge to success. Without that internal drive, that motivation to get you up in the morning and keep you working long and hard if need be, you're not going to really be all that successful. So we can dream dreams and we have goals. They may be expansive and challenging and bold dreams, or we can be modest dreams and goals specific to our location, to what we want now, family, having a happy family, for example. But most people think this process of becoming successful is a mysterious thing. Some people get it, some don't. Some are born into wealth and with a silver spoon in their mouth, and other people have to work tirelessly all their life and go nowhere. It's not fair. Life isn't fair. But it's not a mysterious process. The great men and women all applied these seven strategies, and the three we're going to cover today are the foundation for that success growth. We need not be having these in a mystery, wrapped in a riddle, inside an enigma. They need to be revealed, and they can be very easily analyzed, put on paper, and making you a track record of where you've been and where you want to go. The great and the near great have all applied these. Now, my challenge to you is to try these strategies for 3 weeks. 21 days. That's what it takes to set a habit. Try these for 21 days and see if you can't habitually start working through these three categories. What's your right reality, specific goals to get there, and taking massive action. Just try it for the next 3 weeks as we go through here. So another question. Which do you think is more important to making somebody successful? External influences? Came from a wealthy family. You had a good education. The external circumstances of friends you meet. Life, the opportunities that come your way with a career or job, is that more important, or is it the eternal drive, as somebody had mentioned earlier?
Eternal drive.
No matter what your background or your upbringing, we all have excuses. I had a bad childhood, so I can't be successful. It's simply not true. They both have an impact, no question about it. But without the drive, I've seen people who spent a fortune inherited from their parents and just let it all go away because they had no drive. They had it all made. They thought it would last forever. They used up their money, especially you think of someone winning the lottery. How often you go back to those 5 or 10 years later, all that millions of dollars is gone. Their family's probably broken apart. Everybody that became their friends because they were wealthy had dissipated and gone into the woodwork because they didn't have the internal drive, determination. They didn't build that wealth themselves. Going on to the next slide. Okay, here's where I went to more participation. What are some of the excuses people give for not being successful? Think of any more? Excuses. What's that?
Dysfunction.
You've already got a book. Good. Dysfunction, yeah. Okay, that can mean bad upbringing, I assume, Dan. It can mean I've got a handicap. Did you know that one of the best speakers the world has known, in the English language at least, stuttered, flunked out of second grade. And yet he became the president of Britain with his top hat and a cigar. And he gave a speech after he finished his presidency. And he was speaking to a graduating group at some college. And he said, took off his top hat, put it down on the lectern, put the cigar out of his mouth, laid it down, and said, never give up. Never give up. Never give up. Put his top back on, put a cigar back in his mouth, and sat down. Probably the shortest commencement speech ever. But Churchill lived through that World War II experience, and he helped his people never, never, never give up. And that's so important. Okay, what are some of the other excuses? Anybody else? Yes?
Probably one of the biggest ones is some people have a very negative viewpoint of themselves and of life.
Negative viewpoint of yourself, and I have a whole chapter on that. We don't have time to cover it today. If you don't have the right focus, as we heard in the earlier message we heard today, where you're focusing on the donut and not the hole, what you're missing, you're focusing on what you have and what abilities you're going to use, then you can be negative and you just will go nowhere fast. You'll live up to your negative image of yourself. So that's very important. Okay, here are a few that we have on the clock. Wrong time, just not the right time. When I get more time, I don't have time. When is going to be the right time? How about too busy? I'm just too busy to focus on a successful goal. I've got to take care of the family. I've got to earn the money to bring the money home for the family, to provide for them. I'm too busy, or I'm too tired after going to work. How can I can't do that new goal that I want to develop part-time for a while until I have a ability to make money from it? Yes, you can. Sure can. You can find time, and you can find the energy if you have the drive, but it's got to come from within. It can't come from without. How about the wrong place? If I was just living in Paris, and I could sell these paintings I've been working on the street with selling for nickels and dimes here in the States, I could live in the art world, and I could be there, and I could make millions. But I'm in the wrong place. Oh, well, I guess I can't be successful. How about the wrong race? That can be a hindrance, but it's not necessarily anything that's going to hold you back, to a certain degree at least. About going on to the next slide, how about not enough education? Not enough education. That's a big one. I interviewed a guy some time ago working for the TV stations and got to know this man who had a business in Spokane. And he had an eighth grade education. He was shorter than I am, thin, wiry, high-pitched voice, red hair. And if you would have interviewed him before he became a success, you would have thought he's the last person in the world that's ever going to be successful. But he had one key element going for him: drive. He drove himself. He started his own little business in his garage where he got a lathe and he worked on metal. He began to do that 10, 11 hours a day. Pretty soon, he said, you know what, I can remake engines. He started a remanufacturing company. He went to like 24, 30 states at the time. He became a huge success because he had the drive, determination, found out what his niche was going to be, set a goal, and worked tirelessly toward it. So that's education. Should not hold you back. How about I'm overqualified? That's the other side of the coin. Well, I just have too much education. I'm not going to take that job. I just graduated from college, and I should be hired at the top level of that corporation. I'm not going to take an entry-level job. Are you kidding me? There's some people that think that way. They're kind of owed a living. They're not willing to work their way up. And so, therefore, they're overqualified. I'm just going to sit here and live with mom and dad until I find the right job. And so a lot of people live that life right now in this world. How about too old? I guess you could think, I'm too old to go on the men's hike, right? With some help from some friends, I made it up and down okay. The down part was the hardest. But did you know that Colonel Sanders, how old do you think he was when he started Kentucky Fried Chicken? He was in his 60s, over 65. He'd already retired. Is he going to give up life because he's retired? I don't know if he said this, but I've heard it before. I'm retarded, not retired. And so he went around to company after company. I've got this great Kentucky recipe for chicken. You should try it. Turn down, over and over again. But he had that determination. And you do know what happened to Colonel Sanders. They still use his emblem sometimes today. Okay, how about I'm female. I mean, there's this glass ceiling. You can't be president of the United States because women could never have that. There used to be more of a problem. There's no question. There's some limitations that are there. But you can be a woman and still be very successful. How about being a man? You know, if I was more like a woman, could have better people skills. I could get along better with everybody. I could talk better because that's what women do generally better than men. So therefore, man, I can't do that. That's an excuse. How about others won't accept me? Yeah, but what if I fail? Fear of failure is huge for people. It keeps a lot of people from trying anything. You know, it's better to have loved and lost than not to have loved at all, the saying goes. And I think it's true with going for your goals, dreaming your dreams, developing your habits and your abilities so that you can become more successful. If we get our self-awareness, self-gratification, an image of who we are from what other people say about us or how they respond to us, we're setting ourselves up to be hurt. Because eventually, maybe it happens more than you like to think about, eventually someone's not going to like what you say or how you say it. Eventually, they're going to try to put you down. If you're too successful, you make them look bad. If you're relying on other people for self-esteem or self-worth, you're setting yourself up for disaster. It's just a matter of time. We've got to rely on God. We've got to rely on the self-satisfaction we get from completing quality goals that are heading us in the right direction. Okay, now I want you to take the next step here, and let's pull out your pen and go to the next slide. We'll look at rating yourself in these categories, okay? Some of us are very successful in some parts of our life, and some of us, other parts, not so much. So what I want you to do is just take a minute here, take your pen out, rate 1 to 5 from satisfaction and happiness at 5, the high level, all the way down to 1. This really needs a lot of work, or 0 if you want to go that far. So rate yourself. You can circle if you have the handouts there, it should have right below there each of these categories and something to circle. My suggestion is write the first thing that comes down. Circle the number that first comes to your mind because that is probably your gut telling you this is where you are, not your brain saying, well, I think I'm better than that. Talking yourself into something better, or I think I'm worse than that. Talking yourself into something worse. So go through these 7 points and just grade yourself. Emotional satisfaction and happiness. How are we doing? Are you emotionally really happy? And what does that mean to you? Does that mean you never sad? You never mourn? No, we all go through ups and downs. But how about, generally speaking, are you emotionally happy? 1 to 5. Circle it. Number 2, career, business, and work satisfaction. How are you doing there? Are you happy with the job, or you're just doing it because that's the living? I know some of you have got promotions recently and have moved into what are ideal jobs. That's fantastic. Good for you. But rate yourself on that. Are you happy with your work? If not, is there something you can do on the side for a while until you can afford to move into this new direction, this new career? 3, personal relationships with family and friends. It was talked about earlier. We need to have family relations. We need to have relations with others. We weren't born to be living in a monastery somewhere on the backside of a mountainside, not cut off from any conversation or relations with other people. We're human beings that relate to other human beings. What are those relationships like? 1 to 5. Quickly circle 1. 4, physical health. How's my health doing? Right? As we get a little older, sometimes that's more of a challenge. But even young people live through some very horrid things and have to struggle day in and day out. So is there things you can do to improve that? Well, rate yourself, and then we'll talk about improvements. Number five, financially. How are you doing health, financial health-wise and wealth-wise, both for your health and your wealth? But this is talking about your wealth in general, your financial health. Number six, rate yourself recreational. Do you have fun? Or you work all the time? Are you a workaholic? I used to be when I was in the TV business. I worked all the time, and I loved it. But you know what? I had to have a social life, too, I found. And that balanced me out. So now I work hard and play hard. I can go to work, and I can go climb a mountain with some friends. Those are fun things to do. Social life, recreational life. And number seven, spiritual life, most importantly. How would you rate your spiritual life? We all have room for improvement, no question. But it's interesting. There is a French, as we can see in the next slide, there was a French person who had some very interesting comments. You know what life is like? If I had him here, I should have brought you cards, Laura. He said, life is like a game of cards. Each person has to take the cards he's been dealt and decide how to play his hand. Each player accepts the cards of life that life deals him or her. With cards in hand, each person must decide how the hand will be played. That's your decision. Your decision. In order to win the game. You want to win the game of success? Decide what you want to be. Decide where you want to be successful and what part of life. Hopefully all of it. None of us are perfect in all those areas, are we? Okay, as we go on now, let's go. How do you define success? On the next slide, we can see that defining success, this is where you're at now. So let's see how you define success. So look at this area. Again, write out really quickly. And you can always come back and fill it in later if you want. But how do you define success physically? I've got to be the weight I was in high school as a freshman, and the waistline the same way, or I've got to be a muscle-bound muscle builder. And what's your physical description? Who are you? Where do you find success physically? I have to have the exercise to have the mind, my mind works better. How about emotionally? What's your definition of success emotionally? Emotionally. And then mentally, again, we can come back to these. I just want you to think about this a little. You need to sit down and write out what you think is success in each of these four key areas. Because without all of this working together, there's going to be some part of your life that's really going to be out of whack. Mentally successful, spiritually successful. How are you spiritually successful? We talk about ways to making all those things more successful. How do you currently define those? Now, if you've got all those mapped out and you've defined them so well and you think you're just right on track, then I think you might be wasting your time in this little seminar today. Because we all have room to grow. We all have a time. This is a time to take your mind out once in a while and dance on it. Get the cakes out and make sure we're going the right direction. Okay, the next slide shows three ifs. What if? How many times have you heard that? I would have been successful if only, if, fill in the blanks. What are the three ifs that can build success? This is the other side of the coin. The next slide gives you the answers. The first two of the ifs is if you have the talent, you got to have natural abilities, and you have the training, if. Because you can have the talent, and you can go nowhere fast if you don't build on that. Realize it is a talent. Build your strengths, as we'll talk about here later on. We need to be building on our strengths, not just taking care of our weaknesses. So we need to have the training and the talent. Number two, if we have the right place and right time. There is this, what's been called the fickle finger of fate, where time just comes along and pretty soon all of your abilities, all your training, and everything you've worked for come together. Wow, the right job. Wow, the right mate. It all comes together. And that fickle finger is going to point for a while and it's going to be gone. If you do not determine what you're looking for to begin with, you're never going to find it. You're not going to get there from here. You can't. It's time, chance, that happens to all. As Ecclesiastes says, we have to be ready for those times when chance comes our way. It's 5 minutes of fame, right, in this world nowadays. We can see also that we must recognize and seize that fickle finger of fate when it flashes our way. Otherwise, it's going to be gone. The internet, especially, you have 5 minutes of success if you're lucky, maybe 5 seconds, because everything comes and goes so quickly. The news cycles for the presidential candidates, they know if they give it on Friday afternoon, being a news guy, I can tell you this, that it's going to get buried in the weekend stuff, and by Monday, people will have forgotten about it. But for that moment, when it's on the air, it could be a big deal. So they know how to bury things, but again, when that fickle finger of fate swings your direction, are you ready? As George Burns says, for what you prepare for usually will show up. You've got to prepare. You've got to be ready. Okay, the third F is, on the next slide, if you have the inner drive and determination. This is something we can all muster. We can all do a better job with. We can all cultivate that energy, even if you have to run 5 miles a day or you have to swim an hour a day or a mile a day, which I've been doing. You can be determined and have that energy to get up and go. It is the bridge to success. You want to be on that bridge? Destination is success. You've got to have the inner drive and determination to walk across the bridge or run at full speed. Otherwise, you can't get there from here. You're going to stay on the other side of the bridge. Determination is the bridge to success. Okay, now we're getting to the next slide, what we went through in detail earlier. So we're going to skim through this pretty quick. We talked about this king of Israel, Solomon, who had the right focus to begin with, and then it turned into the wrong focus. We won't have to recite his story here, but at least want to go to the next slide. We talked about his example, his conclusion, his ending result, which we've already gone over. But let's go to the next slide here, just to review this real quick. What was this great experiment? Anybody want to answer? Remember? What was this great experiment? Solomon's.
He was going to try every form of pleasure.
He was going to try every form of pleasure. He was a king, he was wealthy, he was handsome, he had everything anybody wanted to have going with him. He was close to God to start with, but he turned to experimenting. Not with drugs, necessarily, but with wine and other things that may have turned into evil, marrying 700 wives and 300 concubines. He went to the extreme of physical pursuits, forsaking, as the next slide says. He tested himself with pleasure, even evils. It began to get him off track. And it moved him right off that North Star we should be focused on. And then what was the focus of his life? Physical pursuits. Self-satisfaction at the expense of spiritual pursuits in God. Okay, then we see what kind of example did he set? What was his conclusion? We see in the next slide that his example was he drifted away from God. He missed out on lasting eternal success. Living forever in the kingdom and family of God is in question. Hopefully he'll be there. But he had to learn some lessons the hard way before then. He drifted away from God. And then his conclusion, King Solomon's conclusion, recorded in Ecclesiastes 2, 10 through 11. Everything was meaningless after all that work and effort and toil. And he did work hard. He drove himself hard. That's why all accomplishment is not success. It could make you a lot worse off. Everything was meaningless, a chasing after wind. Nothing was gained under the sun. He just could not get there from here. He just felt empty, and he did all these marvelous things, built buildings and states, and had lots of cattle and slaves and all kinds of stuff. And Solomon's ended his fate. On the next slide, we see Solomon's fate a couple slides through. Why all accomplishment is not success. Irony of Solomon's life, he started out close to God, well-trained, brought up in the way of God, and turned and evidently left God to a point where finally he lost the true values that he grew up with, and he drifted away from God and lost true success. Hopefully he'll gain it again if he hasn't already. So he succumbed to the peer pressure of 700 wives and 300 concubines. We see that there's no record of him turning back to God either, and that's a sad story, but maybe he will. And we know that God finally condemned him on the next slide, where 1 Kings 11, 6 through 11 from the Revised Standard Version. Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord. He did not keep what the Lord commanded him. All those blessings and all that ability that God gave him, he just turned his back on it and walked the other way. He did not keep the Lord's command. Therefore, the Lord said to Solomon, since this has been your mind, this is what you focused on, this is what you wanted, this was the goal of your life, this was your ultimate destiny, I'm going to give it to you. I will tear the kingdom from you, though. You're going to lose out on everything. Your generations after you will lose out on much of what you worked so hard to build. The end result, Solomon and his progeny lost a good portion of the kingdom. Eventually, 10 of the 12 tribes of Israel, as the next slides talk about, went their own way. It separated, and they became a separate country. Lost a big part of his land, a big part of his population, a big part of his wealth scattered throughout his kingdom. And Jesus Christ said, rightly so, in Luke 9:27, what profit is it for a man to gain the whole world if he himself is lost and destroyed? That's what happened to Solomon, evidently. Was he lost and destroyed? We don't know for sure. Hopefully not eternally lost, but that's God's call. So that's why we should never compromise our values for short-term success. We can have short-term success. Selfish physical pursuits can never satisfy spiritual hunger. And consistent values keep us focused on true north. This is it. This is what I'm going to do. This is how I live. And I'm never going to change and veer away from that part, that true north that's so important to us. And then C and D, it'll see you through the ups and downs of life. And that's reality, isn't it? Ups and downs. You can get a car accident one day and have to spend months in recovery. Or you can have something else happen in your life, lose your job, lose your career. 2008, a lot of people lost their jobs and things began to change. That can happen. Time and chance happens to all. And then the action, when you're focused on your true values, is always in the right direction. God's promised to direct our steps, but we need to be doing our part as well. Okay, let's move on to the main part of the seminar now. What is your reality or your life's purpose? Number one, what is your reality, life's purpose? We're going to spend the rest of the time here. Specific goals to get you there and massive action to bring dreams to life. How can we do this? Okay, first of all, we've got to define what success is. Anybody have any idea? How would you define success? Jim?
Becoming my best. My goals are mine. I cannot compete with somebody else. I'm always trying to be better than before.
Okay. I think that's a huge point. Compete with yourself. Do better than you did before. And then you're not so worried about what other people think or who's competing with you. I've tried to live that way many times. Before I went on the men's hike, up that 6-mile hike up the side of that mountainside. Going up was not as bad as coming down. I went on 6 other hikes to get ready for it. So sometimes you got to do a little better. First, I was going out Mount Si. I got up 2 miles of the 4-mile hike. It was pretty hard, 40-pound pack. Then the next time I got 3 miles up. And the third time I made it to the top. I did a little better each time. Very good point, Jim. You get a book there from your cohort. Can make sure you get one. So Webster's Dictionary defines success this way. Webster's New American Dictionary, success, favorable or desired outcome. Okay, what's favorable, desired outcome? It depends on you. Okay, number two, and this is so often the case when you look at definitions of success, the gaining of wealth or fame. There it is, folks. If you're wealthy, if you're famous, that's all that counts. You can have absolutely no abilities and make a fool of yourself by antics and strange things on the internet and be a worldwide sensation and be famous. Some people have done that and still doing it now. How you define faith? Is it just fame and fortune? That's a very fleeting part of life, like Solomon learned the hard way, if that's all we have. We have to have the inner hunger satisfied spiritually with the Spirit of God. That's the way we're designed. Okay, going on to the next slide, we see that what's the right reality for your life's purpose? I think George Horace Learmar said it well. It's good to have money. It's better than the opposite. Believe me, we all probably know that. Some of us the hard way. It's good to have money and the money things money can buy, but it's good, too, to check once in a while and make sure that you haven't lost the things that money can't buy. Good friends, good social relationships, happy family. How many people you know became millionaires and said, as one famous person did, I would give it all up to have one happy marriage. He focused on one aspect of life and let the other slip. And that's easy for us to do as human beings. There's another man named Jim Rohn that talks about success. He was a famous motivational speaker, still is, as far as I know, he's still alive. I worked with him for a little bit. He had some really big impact on lots of people, including me. But he said this, the big challenge is to become all that you can, and you have the ability to become, becoming. You cannot believe what that does to the human spirit, to maximize your human potential and strength and stretch yourself to the limit. Are you happy with mediocrity? Are you happy with just ho-hum existence? It's time to stretch a little bit. Come up with some new goals. Get your life re-sparked again. Get that brain all cleaned up. Jump on it once in a while and make sure you're on the right path. Okay, the next slide gives you the details, step-by-step process to set good goals. We don't have time to do that today. This is normally a half-a-day seminar. But what we do have time to do is just touch on it briefly. So the steps are there. If you follow this plan, it'll help you focus in on setting right goals. Who wants to give me an example of a goal that would be, before we get into showing you what a real goal is, it would be a real goal for somebody? It doesn't have to be you. Anybody got any ideas? What would be a good goal? Dean, you got one? Right here, in front.
Improving your health.
Improving your health, good goal. Good goal, okay? But there's a couple things missing on that goal. Yes, over here. We'll talk about that in a minute. What else?
Playing the piano.
Do you play the piano?
I'm working
at it. Well, good for you. That's a good goal. Play the piano. Okay, now there's a couple things missing from those two goals. So keep those two in mind as we go through this. We'll go on to the next slide because this is step one is determining your life's purpose, itemizing a category of your loves and your strengths. And so we're going to skip the next pages there if you have the full handout and go on to the next slide, which has Stephen R. Covey on the top. There it is. As you probably remember, he wrote The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People. And he analyzed lots of different people, if you look at the research he did through that book. It's a classic now. But what did he say? To begin with the end in mind means to start with a clear understanding of your destination. Where are you going? Better understand where you are now. You will be able to better understand where you are now by focusing where you want to go and the steps to take you that always will be in the right direction. When you have a destination in mind, you're always going to be going the right direction. You might vary a little bit on the way. It reminds me of a story you heard about the pilot. Came on the intercom. Well, ladies and gentlemen, I have good news and I have bad news. The good news is we have a tailwind. We're making excellent time. We're going to be there faster than ever. The bad news is I forgot to file a flight plan. I have no clue where we are or where we're going. Isn't that the way most people spend their lives? Going in circles, doing this and doing that. They have no flight plan. Can you imagine taking off without a flight plan? Not only would he be grounded, but he'd be kicked out of the business forever. You've got to decide where you're going. What's your destination? You got to know where the end is. And it's got to be something bigger. There's another saying, an anonymous person said, if you're a success right away, you probably haven't tried very much. And sometimes we are successful because we're just happy with mediocrity. Dream a little bit. Go after the big one. So what if you don't quite make it? Shoot for the stars. Maybe you'll end up with the sun. Who knows? Okay, going on to goals, making them specific. Okay, specific goals get you there. Many don't plan to fail. They simply plan. Fail to plan. One man said, it's strange, but you may try to do something and fall and fail and try to do nothing and succeed. Well, there's a success. I did nothing. I wanted to do nothing and be nothing, and I am nothing. I succeeded. So we all have some kind of a success if that's your definition of where you want to go and what your specific goals are to get to it. I found an old definition on the next slide from Webster's Dictionary in 1904. 1904, Webster's Dictionary. It was defining dreams. It says this, deceptive illusions, okay, dreams. Living in dreams without the ability to move. So you're in this dream, and you're stuck in your dream. I don't know what the ability to move has to do with it, but that's what they defined it. And it's a castle in the air. Well, as we talk about here, what happens if you just have this dream and they never become reality? You're only living in a dreamland, in your dreams. You're feeling good about yourself for something you made up in your mind. Dreams will remain castles in the air that can never be lived in if they're just there. One day, I will do this. I will do this one day. I will change. I will get a second job and work to where I really want to work and have fun doing while I work to bring the income in to support my family. We can do that. It takes a lot of work. It's not easy. Okay, but we want to have dreams or we want to have goals. We never live or enjoy a castle in the air. That's just a dream that never is inhabited. Okay, let's go on to the next slide. It talks about step number two. Again, we've got details for you there in the handout. Don't have time to walk through all these steps, but you can do it on your own. Don't have lasting motivation. You just lack the oomph to get up in the morning. You lack the determination to keep on working. I've been in this job so many years. I'm just tired of it. I want to try something new. Well, maybe it's time to try something new. New goals, new dreams. You're lacking motivation. How do you get that re-stimulated? Walk through this 10 steps to get leverage on yourself to accomplish your life's purpose. It'll be very helpful. I've had lots of people go through this, and they analyze for their own perspective, where do I want to be next year? I used to interview people running TV stations, and I had like 35 questions. And buried in there was like four or five that talked about motivation. Because I knew if they didn't come self-motivated, it's kind of hard for anybody from the outside to motivate them. And inevitably, I would find out if they had the motivation, the drive. I'd ask them, where do you want to be a year from now? Well, I don't know. I'm happy. I think I want to work right here. I'll be working here for a long time. How about 5 years from now? I'm going to work in the same job here for five. How about 10 years from now? I'm going to be here for the rest of my life. Do you have any motivation to hire that person? You want them to say, well, in a year, I want a promotion. And a year after that, I want your job. And then you better get out of the way and let him do his job so he can work his way to where he wants to go. You find somebody that's motivated and you develop them for their reasons and not your own. And they're working hard for you because they are motivated. Woo! Sky's the limit. The synergy involved with people that do that and the organizations I've worked with. And I tell you what, I may not have been the brightest guy at the station, but I knew how to get good people that were smarter than me, better than me, engineers and production people, news people, sales people, accountants, and I got all these diversified people, but if you get them going the same way, motivated for their own reasons, the synergy that's involved is just amazing. Turned a lot of stations around with that synergy. So do yourself a favor, go through these questions, get some motivation, get some determination, set some goals. We have to skim through this today because you can go through that in detail in the quiet of your own home and wherever you may be and understand how to leverage yourself, how to play mental games on yourself to get up and do something every day of your life and enjoy the process. Okay, the next step is focusing on goals to get you there. Now, you may be thinking I'm just making all this up, but it's not true. One big key factor is to focus on your strengths and what you like doing. And that handout that we'll have for you will help you do that. Focus on your strengths. There was a study by Gallup poll, 250,000 successful professionals. The highest level of achievement came when they matched activities with strengths. Give this guy, because he's a round peg, I'm going to give him a square hole. That doesn't work so well. You want the round hole, round peg in the round hole. You find out what your likes are, and I help you walk through that step by step in that handout you have, where you can say, okay, what did I do that I accomplished that really made me happy, really brought me satisfaction. Maybe there's a like there. Maybe there's some abilities there. Maybe that's where I need to focus my energies. That'll make a big difference in your success. I guarantee it. Life is good. Do what you like and like what you do. It doesn't have to be a miserable existence just scraping by so you can pay the bills. When we're young, again, we had dreams. We had big dreams. What are your deepest desires? What are your strengths? Those are the things you look for the most. You know, we can spend a lifetime. I talk about this in the book. We spend a lifetime trying to patch up all of our weaknesses. We all have it, don't we? Okay, well, I'm not so good at this, so I've got to really work on being more patient with people. I've got to really work on being kind, caring for others. That's really hard for me. And you spend all your focus on that, you might become a little better in those areas. But if you do that, but focus mainly on, you know what, I really like talking to people. I really like presenting information. I really love research. I really love writing. You focus on what you love doing, the sky's the limit. You're going to match yourself with who you really are, not who you have to be to survive. It's the set of your sail that counts, not the winds of life that blow through life. It's your determination to get through those winds. You can have a headwind in a sailboat. I'm going to go sailing in Hawaii here in a few weeks for the first time in my life. But you can sail on a sailboat, and if there's a headwind, if I understand it, you can still go forward, maybe slower. But think about when that tailwind comes around and it's blowing, and you're set in the right direction because you're centered on true north, that wind is going to blow you very, very fast towards your goals. It's the set of your sail that counts, not the winds of challenges, trials, and troubles that come your way. Remember the pilot. You want the right tailwind, but you want to know where you're going to. Okay, let's go on to the next slide or two. This is step number three. Keys to setting goals. Okay, now how can you set a good goal? You're going to decide for yourself what your goals are. You have the worksheet to do that. Now we're going to, this handout shows you what kind of goals they have. Well, think about the two ladies and the goals they had. Play the piano and health. I would think millionaire would be nice, but Solomon, that didn't work for him too well, did it? Okay, health, piano. What was lacking in theirs? It's all here on the next slide. Smart. Make your goals smart. Make them smart. Without this complete package, they're not really goals. They're still maybe dreams. Maybe you'll get there eventually. But let's go through SMART. What does that acronym stand for? SMART. Number one, specific. What specifically do you want to achieve? Play the piano. Like specifically, like a beginner, like an intermediate, like a professional concert pianist. What, there's a range there, so get specific. Okay, and you want to improve your health by feeling better, exercising hard, losing weight. Make it more specific. Okay, M for meaningful. Meaningful. It's got to be meaningful to you. It's got to be your goal. It's got to be what you want to accomplish. Otherwise, you're not going to have the drive and motivation to get there. You just won't. SMA for action. You've got to have the steps in mind to achieve it. Sometimes you start out with a big goal. I want to be president of the United States. If I go down and try to get registered in every state right now, do you think I'd have any chance of winning? I don't think so. I had to take some steps before, didn't I? I had to register in every state. I had to build a committee. I had to get financial support from various contributors. I had to build up to this. I had to maybe run for dog catcher and then mayor and then governor, and now maybe I'm ready for the United States presidency. You have to have intermediate goals to get to where you're going. You can't just wake up one morning and say, tomorrow I'm going to be X. Normally, if it's a big goal, and there's Harvard University, it's in my book, but it's not here, came out with a saying some time ago. Lawrence probably has heard it. They came up with a saying that says, you want BHAGs, big, huge, gory BHAGs goals. You want a big one. You want a real dreamy one here. You're going to sit like the apostles thought, on your right hand, on your left hand, in your kingdom. Well, maybe that's a little carnal. But you need to have big goals. You can settle for that. Shoot for the stars, settle for the moon. Okay? But have a big goal. Have the intermediate goals to get there. If you only make it halfway up the ladder, you've tried. You're going the right direction. So have big hang, B-hang goals. Big, hairy goals. And then take the actions toward it. Reality, or realistic. R, smart. R. How do you know you can achieve this goal? Is it really realistic? Well, I want to be a woman. I guess today maybe that could happen, but I don't think I really want to do that. But what's the realistic side of it? You want to be a millionaire by the time you're 13? It could happen, but not too realistic. Okay, make it realistic and make it timely. T, smart. Timely and trackable. When do you want to achieve this goal? Timely and trackable. Timely because it's got to be the other thing missing from getting in better health and playing the piano. I'm going to get there in a week, a month, a year. I'm going to lose so many pounds. After my wife died, I had a goal of losing so many pounds, and I put off 45. And everybody said I looked too gaunt and looked better when you were heavier, so I put a little bit back on. But the point is that you've got to have an end date. You have a target time. It's got to be timely, and it's got to be trackable. Okay, I said within the first quarter I was going to make so many dollars in this job. How did I do? Okay, next quarter, how did I do? When I managed TV stations, some of the organizations I work for, some of them own the stations here in Seattle area, they made us target every quarter. And some people, which I never did as a manager, but some people I knew would say, if you don't make your quarterly amount, you're out of here, salesman. You don't have a job anymore. Pretty brutal. But you need to target. You need to be trackable, measurable, and then you're watching your progress. And how gratifying is it when you look down and you say, wow, check that one off. I made this quarter. What can I do next quarter to make it even better? How good is that feeling that you get? So there's ways to set goals. They're all here in the handout. I have you answer some questions, true and false, and fill in the blank. Then I talk about specifics, like we just went through, from SMART goals. And then you have the answers on the last sheet. So you got to, if you get through that, it'll help you define what a real goal is. It's got to have several things in it to make it a real, tangible, SMART goal. And that's what you want to have. Okay. As one man said, to accomplish great things, we must not only act, but we also must dream. Not only dream, but also believe. That's part of this goal processing. Dream. Act. Believe you can do it. Have confidence that God is going to help you through the process. Without the dream, the goal usually never comes, and the right goals don't come. And without the action, those goals never become true life experiences. Okay, moving along. Number three, this is one of my favorites. Massive action, because in the TV business, lights, camera, action, nothing happens until somebody throws a switch on the lights and somebody turns the camera on, like the ones we have here, and somebody says, action! It was fun to do that on commercials I used to produce. And usually you get a crowd, even if you're in a big building or something, you can get a crowd to silence pretty easily if you're loud enough. So, lights, camera, action. What did Stephen Covey have to say about this principle? Massive action brings dreams to life. You want those dreams to come true? Take some action. Here it is. Many people wait. This is a summary of it, but you have the whole thing there in your handout. Many people wait for something to happen, but people who end up with the good jobs are the proactive ones who seize the initiative to do whatever is necessary. Over, under, around, or through, it's going to get done. And we'll talk about not trampling other people in the wake of your efforts, because sometimes you're going to have such direct action, you're leaving dead bodies on the side of the road as you go through life. We don't want that to happen either. But you've got to have action or nothing's going to happen. Who seizes the initiative to do whatever is necessary, consistent with correct principles, by the way, don't lose your values, to get the job done. Remember the bridge to success? You can see it here again. It's on the next slide. Inner drive, determination is the bridge. All these other things, preparing goals, making them tangible, making them specific, the SMART side of things, it's very important. But unless you take action, nothing's going to happen until you begin to put one step in front of the other. Sometimes you see the arc of success with people, they, right out of the bat, they're boyhood or girlhood geniuses, and they get to college before they should have gotten out of high school. Those are the rare kinds of geniuses. We're talking about most of us. Some of us don't become successes overnight. Most of us don't. Sometimes that arc is way like this. There's a few that go when they first start out, but most of them are like arcing way like this. And that's kind of the way you want it to be in a sense. You want the arc at the end to be even better than the arc at the beginning, generally speaking, I think. So the bridge to success is that inner drive, that absolute determination to get there. We'll talk about that in more detail now. Inner drive and determination. It's both a goal and it's a goad. If you've set this goal for yourself, you've thought about it, you've written it down, and you put it on your mirror and you think about it every day, maybe you pray about it at night or whatever, you have that goal in mind, it's going to become your focus. You're going to start working for it. It becomes a goad. Oh, I did all these other things, but did I work on my goal today? I guess I didn't. I need to do it now. It's a goal and it's a goad. When you're determined and have drive, it can keep you going in the right direction. If you have the drive and ambition, it can transform nearly anything. Look at the history. You see some of these famous people, Oprah Winfrey and many other famous people that I've researched to write the book. But it's both a goal and a goad. A driving ambition can transform nearly everything. Think about it. It has tamed continents, launched civilizations, built empires, toppled despots, cured diseases, and even worked on the inner workings of the atom or the outer reaches of the universe. Determination did that. Somebody took the effort. Think outside the box, set these big hang goals, and just went for it. Maybe they didn't make it, but the next generation did. Maybe they didn't make it all the way, but the next one did. And maybe five generations from now, we'll walk on the moon. We did it 10 years. Why aren't we doing it anymore? That's what I want to know. So, when you have that determination, that drive, it can turn simple ideas into a global business. It can inspire great teachers to redeem wasted minds. It can take a crumbling family and turn into a pillar of unity and strength. That's what determination can do in action. Now, which is more important? Action or luck to make you successful? Anybody want to comment on that? Action or luck? So the next slide. The top one there. Action. It's more apt to happen if you make it happen, right? If it's just luck, well, I'm sitting around, I'm waiting for the lottery to come in. I think I'm going to win this next week. Maybe I'll be rich by tomorrow. Maybe I'll have it then. My ship's going to come in. I just know it is. This is it. I'm going to play cards, and I'm going to win this gambling game. That's luck. Lady Luck flashes at you once in a while. That fickle finger is there, but most of the time, it's your actions directly relating to what you're working on that produces the kind of success you want. But they both do have a factor. How about hard work or just getting lucky? The luckier, the harder you work, the luckier you get. The saying goes, right? You know, I think it's sad. You go across this country, and even in Canada, I've been up there talking. We're losing the work ethic that built this nation and that nation, Canada, so well. We're not standing out as the super ordinary nation, working longer hours, and dedicating ourselves to being at the top. We're kind of sliding down the scale. The new generation isn't working as hard. May never have the same success as the next generation. Studies show that most people feel that their descendants are going to be worse off than they were during their lifetime. Not better. Most people in America feel that way. We're losing our work ethic. And that's one of the big reasons. And remember, too, that little successes drive us to bigger ones. Little successes, small steps to a small goal, that's one step. Oh, one more step, you're a little closer. Little successes to drive to big successes. And by the way, take your time when you've made a success, big or small, and celebrate once in a while. Cheers. I made this. We got the seminar done. Well, it's not done yet, so maybe I shouldn't celebrate too early. But reward yourself along the way. When you make something happen, and you've sold something extra special, or you've accomplished something on your goal, reward yourself. I'm not saying eat all the chocolate and candy and cake to make you heavier, but reward yourself in some way. When I came back from climbing up the side of a mountain, the next day I had so much energy, I could hardly stand it, so I went down to the Y and swam a mile in the pool. That was a reward for me because I had so much high feeling from the walk up the mountainside, I wanted to keep that momentum going for a while. And I hadn't swam for a mile probably since I can remember. I was in high school, a swimmer. It's a long time ago. So reward yourself. Rekindle that strong work ethic. Herbert W. Armstrong, most of you know who that is, famous religious leader. At one time, I worked for him for many years, and we were the second largest buyer of television airtime for a religious organization in the entire country, plus Canada, plus Australia, plus New Zealand, South Africa. We had international media like nobody, hardly one other person, one other company could beat us, but not by much. He was the head of that organization, Worldwide Church of God. He said this, without energy, drive, and constant propulsion, a person need never expect to become truly successful. And he lived that way, didn't he? There's other people you can think of as examples as we get to the close to the end of the seminar here. Oops, just about to finish up. And her name is Eleanor Roosevelt. Anybody want to talk about Eleanor Roosevelt a little bit? It's on the next slide. Eleanor Roosevelt. Yeah.
She had character.
She had character. Boy, she had character. She became one of the most respected women in business and as the married to the president, the first lady ever. Her husband lived through parts of four terms. So she became the longest person in that role as first lady, and she was very active. She got a lot done. She accomplished a lot. She was an American politician, a diplomat, an activist. She was the longest serving first lady ever, 1933 to 1945. Eleanor Roosevelt, she had a significant role in reshaping the image and the working atmosphere of the presidency of the United States. What did she say? What was her quote? You gain strength and courage and confidence by what? By always being successful and never making a mistake. Always never being fearful. No, when you look, every experience in which you really stop and look fear in the face. One of the big prohibitors of people even trying to become successful is their fear of failure, fear of speaking, fear of whatever that fear is. I know some of you recently had fear of putting your face in water swimming. Well, that's a real fear. If you can accomplish something and you can make the goal of that where you put your face in that water for the first time, that's huge. That's a major step in the right direction. Yes, Jim.
This is another guy that was a salesman from 1940, just based on this quote, but he said, you must do the things you don't like to do in life, you know, develop the skills you don't want to learn, haven't learned, you must learn to learn to like them and develop them as natural habits. Successful people have learned to like the things that they don't want to get done.
Okay, that's really, we can go on about that. He's saying that successful people learn new habits to learn to like what they don't like to do because they know they have to do it. The way I play a mental trick on myself, what I do, if there's something I hate to do, which is paperwork, I will say, okay, Rod, you want to go write? You want to go research? And you want to do this? Okay, you can't do that until you get your paperwork done. I tell myself this, since I work for myself now. And I never needed the boss to tell me what to do when I knew it had to be done. You know what? I've gotten to the point, I don't think I like paperwork, but I'm pretty good at it now. My wife's died. She used to do the paperwork for me. I don't have that anymore. There's no crutch. So now the treasurer of our company says, you're right on, Rod. You're really right on the ball with your paperwork. So you can at least learn to do it, even if you don't learn to like it. But massive action is not enough. We're going to touch on this real quick. She had the tragedy of her husband dying in office, and she became a very effective person. But massive action is not enough. We need to have proper channel direction. It can't just be going this way, that way, you're mad. You know, I've seen people just, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do this, and they're running around like chickens with their head cut off, or like proverbial duck paddling underneath the water, but looking really smooth and clear, but they're going the wrong direction. So properly channeled and directed action. Balance with empathy and care. Somebody said, I don't remember the exact quote, but somebody said that when you get to the top, don't forget to reach down and help those out who helped you up. If you're just leaving dead bodies in the wake of your actions because you're so determined to do something and go someplace, you're going to leave a lot of awful dead wood on the sidelines. And there's some very good books about developing friendships, how to develop friendships. Get somebody to help you, be a mentor to you. That's a huge part of being successful. That's what I did when I started in the speaking business. I came, got some of the best in the industry to become my mentors. I went to work for a couple of them, and I really got some great experience. So that's what you need to do. Hone that empathy. Care for others. Develop friendships and relationships, not just for personal gain, but for outgoing concern. Otherwise, you're going to end up with a disastrous situation in relationships. You're going to destroy your own goals and your career and success. You're sabotaging yourself. As King Solomon so wisely put it in Proverbs 22 and 29, do you see a man as excels in his work? Do you? I know many of you here excel in your work. Some of you work long, hard hours dangling from the side of a tall building in downtown Seattle, and you work long, hard hours. You stay in pretty good shape because of it. And help me up a mountainside and down, that's good. But do you see a man excellent at his work? Some of you are really excellent at what you do. He's not going to stand before, he's going to stand before kings. He will not stand before unknown men. That's a promise. You keep working hard with the right goals and the right direction, you can get there. One other example real quick as we close. Thomas Edison. Everybody know who that is? Very famous inventor. You think he just was born with all the wealth and abilities? Well, he had abilities, no question, but he honed them, he developed them. You think he just fell into his job? Thomas Edison, he was going to invent something called the phonograph. And so he wanted it to say an aspirated sound. And so he would say into the microphone, specia, specia, specia. It would come out the other side, specia, specia, specia. He did that for 11 months, 10, 12 hours a day. Specia, 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 specia. He said that it was enough to drive one mad. It was enough to drive one mad. But I held firm, he said, and I have succeeded. 11 months later, he was a real success. Some men succeed because they're destined to, but most men succeed because they're determined to. Be determined to succeed. Remember these three character traits. It's on your handout. The three steps to lasting success. What's the right reality for you? You can figure it out in the handout. Specific goals to get you there. And the massive action that you have in order to get there. So we'll have Gilbert come up for just a closing comment or two. I want to thank you for your attention. It's been a very good audience. Very much appreciated.
How are you motivated now? That was great, Rod. Thank you so much for bringing all those points to us. So again, the three points. Determine your life's purpose. specific goals to get to them, second point, and the third point, massive action. So let's get on to some simple goals and work towards larger goals and then celebrate those achievements along the way. So for that, we thank you for your attention and participation. Feel free to approach Rod whenever you have time to talk to him and ask him more questions if you have. And hope you find the seminar helpful and on towards success. So safe travels to your journey to success. Thank you.